You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
This train goes to all terminals. The next stop will be Terminal 1.
Good morning, everyone. That's the voice of the JFK Air Train, which takes passengers from subway stops to various terminals at JFK Airport here in New York. It's part of the newest bit of infrastructure here in the New York City area. But this holiday season, of course, as it happens every single year, the infrastructure all over America is tested as millions of Americans take to the roads, take to the buses, the trains, and, of course, the airports around the country. And we've asked some reporters to join us in this beginning of the program today to talk about the infrastructure, because the issue of tested infrastructure is particularly pointed this year, as Barack Obama has suggested that billions of dollars of tax money is going to be used to upgrade the infrastructure all over the country as part of the stimulus package for the economy. Joining us now is Eric Whitney, who's a reporter at Colorado Public Broadcasting. He's in Carbondale, Colorado, and visited the Denver area over the weekend. Eric, where there was an airplane that rolled off the runway. Quickly, what's the update on that airplane?
I don't have the update on that airplane because I turned around and drove into the mountains trying to get away from the airport on my vacation.
Well, we understand there were some injuries and the plane rolled off the runway because of the very, very serious weather problems. Also, Susanna Capilouto, our friend, is with us, news director at Georgia Public Broadcasting, who was testing the infrastructure out in the Atlanta area. What's the top headline in your neck of the woods, Susanna?
I guess we have stranded travelers at our airport because it is the largest airport in the world. So with all the snow and ice everywhere, we have stranded people. But other than that, it's just cold.
Well, Eric, what did you find at the Denver terminal? The particular problem in Denver is that the airport is so far away from Denver, and getting there, if you don't take a cab or drive, is actually quite difficult. Eric?
That wasn't the case that I found in terms of taking the public transit from downtown Denver out to Denver International Airport. It was pretty easy, cost $9, took a little under an hour, and everybody I talked to on the bus said they've been doing it for a long time, and they find it really easy and convenient.
In general, though, public transit is a new thing for the city of Denver, which isn't used to the kind of light rail and the more reliable transit systems that we have in the east. And one of the people that you talked to actually suggested that this was something of a cultural issue, mass transit out there in Denver. I want to play this, and I want you to tell me a little bit about this woman, Sandra Rush, who you talked to.
I had a bunch of friends come in. I mean, 18 friends come in for a reunion this summer, and I told them all, take the bus. It's only $4.50. And you know what? I don't think any of them did. I think they all took cabs because they're from the East Coast.
So here's a Denverite, a kind of a public transit zealot, talking about East Coasters taking cabs. Are people really on the sort of public transit bandwagon out there in Denver?
I think the locals are. The RTD, the district that runs the public transportation in Denver, says about 200,000 people a month ride just the airport bus alone, and they think they're going to be up over 2 million riders this year. So the locals know about it. I think if you fly into DIA and you see all the signs for ground transportation, et cetera, or if you're just used to taking cabs, then you might automatically go and hop in a cab and then, you know, face some sticker shock when you get into Denver half an hour later and you're paying, you know, upwards of $50, $60 for that cab ride. But if you're in the know, then you can go to the city bus stop, hop on, give them your $9, or like Sandra, if you're over 65, it's only $4.50, and an hour later, you're right in the heart of downtown Denver. So it's if you're in the know, it's the cheap way to go.
And strong economic incentives there, Eric. There are some other kinds of incentives in the Atlanta area. Susanna Capilouto talked to Perry Holbrook. Let's listen to this, and then Susanna, you can tell me what Perry's reaction was to the train trip to the airport.
From the North Spring station, which is where I usually get on, I guess it's about a 40-minute train ride. And I just don't like the traffic, and I'd like the convenience of the fact that the train drops you off right at the airport.
So, Susanna, yep. Again, people loving the train there in Atlanta.
Well, there's one way that where the train goes. A lot of people say that our train system is underdeveloped. It doesn't go many places. It only goes north and south, east and west. But the one place it does go is the airport. And that's where a lot of people take it. They park at a station in the suburbs, and they get on the train, and it's cheaper. It only costs $1.75 one way, and you are right at the terminal. You don't have to do any of those parking thing where you get off and you know, leave your car for several days. So in that sense, that's where our transit is very convenient. But in other places around Atlanta, a lot of people say that it's not developed enough to get you many places.
Well, that's the issue in Atlanta, Susanna, because even though this is convenient to the airport, there are a lot of people who aren't served in the center city particularly, and the interstates around Atlanta are extraordinarily crowded. What is the shovel-ready project, you think, in Atlanta that could immediately benefit from a stimulus package?
Well, the shovel-ready one is what they call the Beltline. It's one of those inner rings of that they want to do around Atlanta. But also, MARTA, that's Metro Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority, we call it MARTA, has something shovel-ready, but what they first need is some cash because they are $40 million in debt.
Yeah.
And if they don't get any help because they get no state funding, they only get city and some federal funding, and they really need the money. Otherwise, they say they might have to, you know, up the fare a little bit just to make ends meet. So they're really banking on a stimulus package.
Well, shovels full of money is really the issue here. Andrea Bernstein is here in the studio. You were late because you were stuck in the New York infrastructure, right?
Right.
I mean, you're a senior reporter here at WNYC, but your new responsibility as a reporter is going to be to take a look at this from a national and global perspective. Susanna was talking about shovel-ready projects in Atlanta. What do you see as the sort of shovel-ready issue here in New York? And I know you spent some time at the airports over the weekend.
Well, this is the big debate right now, because the shovel-ready projects tend to be like the, you know, water systems of upstate or bridges in Montauk. And the transit systems are sort of right as we speak trying to gear up so that they can convince these members of Congress that they can get these projects going quickly enough to be part of the stimulus package. The problem in New York, which is obviously, you know, the biggest mass transit city in the country, as elsewhere, is transit's been so starved that the dreams haven't been big. And that's affected the airport, too. I mean, the biggest capital project in New York in recent years was the AirTrain.
Right, we heard the sound there at the top.
And it's only about a 2-mile train ride. It does take you right into the New York City transit system.
But only to JFK Airport.
It takes you only to JFK. Well, Newark.
There's also
a system that takes you to Newark. But the even though it's a very quick ride, it's cheap. If you already have a Metro card, you only have to pay $5 more to get out to the airport. But the problem is when you're coming back, particularly if you're coming from a foreign country, maybe with a lot of luggage, the signage is weak. So you wouldn't necessarily know to get on the AirTrain. And then once you're on it, it's very hard to transfer into the New York City a transit system, either the commuter rail or the subway, because there you can't figure out where to go. You go from having these big signs that say AirTrain to tiny little screens that tell you Penn Station.
And, you know, that's part of the cultural shift in infrastructure. I mean, we're so used to reading the green signs on the interstate to figure out where to go here in the United States. If we shift to a rapid transit or a mass transit strategy in places like, Eric, Denver, there's going to be a lot of retraining to do, wouldn't you say, Eric?
I think the people that use public transit in Denver, I think there are quite a few of them. You know, we've had light rail for a few years now. It's sort of like the MARTA system in Atlanta, except only half, so it only goes north-south. We don't have a good east-west link. People are anxious for that to get out to the airport. But people in Denver, you know, actually use more public transit than most people would assume, although cars are still the dominant species in Denver.
And, Susanna, what about beyond the Atlanta metro area? Is there Amtrak does serve Georgia, but is there anything to extend Amtrak's reach that would help the people of Atlanta?
Not really. I mean, our Amtrak station is so tiny, you can hardly find it.
It's kind of an embarrassment.
I mean, it's like hidden.
It's an embarrassment, actually.
It's amazing if you think of, you know, that this used to be the city where the railroads meet. Now all that is shifted to the airport. And you can go to New Orleans, you can go to D.C. Now, there are some thinkings about maybe a line from Atlanta to Chattanooga. There are some thinkings about a line from Atlanta to Athens and also from Atlanta sort of south into Macon, some of those light rail in the future. There are some projects sort of on the drawing boards for that. Chattanooga would be going to the airport in Chattanooga to relieve sort of Hartsfield. So, you know, those are all future things that are sort of in the planning, but none of them shovel-ready.
All right, well, let's find some shovel-ready stuff because we're going to be talking about this throughout the next year. Susanna Capilouto, news director at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for joining us. And Eric, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Eric Whitney is a reporter at Colorado Public Broadcasting. What is the issue of determining what's shovel-ready and not as we go forward in the next year or so?
The standard that they're using is whether it can be up and running in 90 days. Now, there's some transit advocates saying shovel-ready should be changed, the definition should be changed so that a project that could start in 120 days or 180 days could get included in the stimulus package. It could be phased in, which would get some of these transit projects ready to get considered by Congress.
I'm going to use this phrase, though. I like the shovel ready. I think I'm going to use it with my kids.
I was wondering where that came from.
Shovel ready.
Andrea,
kids,
where does that come
your
from?
Your room is shovel ready.
Well, what is that?
It's ready to start digging.
Yeah.
Shovel in the ground.
Got All right. Andrea Bernstein, our infrastructure reporter, senior reporter here at WNYC News. Thanks for joining us, Andrea.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.